turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel. And this is a story about Saul and David. Chapter 18, verses 18 to 11. Saul was very angry. This refrain grilled him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can we get out of the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcibly upon Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the harp, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, I'll pin David to the wall. But David eluded him. And then from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. To be seated. Let's have a prayer and we'll begin. Lord God, touch us with your love. Enable us to hear your words. Enable us to be free of our sins. And help us be the love that we know we're capable of. In your name we pray. Amen. Forgiveness is an important part of being a Christian. If you look in the dictionary, it's defined as to give up resentment of, or to cease to feel resentment for. It's probably one of the most difficult commandments that Jesus left us. It's difficult because if you've been wrong in your life, if you've been hurt in your life, the natural response is to respond in kind with more anger and more bitterness and more hostility. But you notice the teachings of Jesus. Teachings of Jesus tell us not to do that, but rather to forgive. It's difficult because many times a human response is to respond like it's been given to you. Now, not forgiving can cause great damage to our health, to our interpersonal relationships, and even to our relationship with God. If we go around being angry and bitter and hostile, it affects every single thing that we come in contact with. Now, the story in 1 Samuel. Saul was a very famous man in the Bible. He's also a very tragic man. Because as his reign is coming to an end, a young man named David comes to the forefront. And people seem to like him. They seem to want him to be their leader. And Saul realizes that it's all slipping away from him. And he tries to kill David with a spear. That's the passage that I read. He's envious, he's jealous, he's angry, he's bitter. And his thoughts are always trying to destroy this young man who he knows is going to take his place. But David's response to him is interesting. As you get deeper into the story there towards the end of 1 Samuel, you find that eventually Saul, that this anger destroys him. But David tries to forgive him. David tries to smooth it over and actually writes a passage of remembrance when Saul dies. And then from Matthew 6, the teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus encourages us to forgive others, but he says only in the proportion that we forgive others. So if we forgive little, God forgives little. If we forgive much, God forgives much. Now that we need to forgive, I think we all can say absolutely so. If we, as we go through life, I think all of us can say we've been hurt at one time or the other. It's part of being a human being as we exist in the world. The world isn't perfect. God gave us free will, and people will say and do things to us which cause us to be angry and bitter. But when I've been hurt in my life, I ask myself a very critical question. What can I learn from what has happened to me? Usually in the midst of a great amount of hurt and anger, there's a lesson to be taught. Now, when I was an addictions counselor, it was called renting space in your head. If you allow people to rent space in your head, you remember them with anger and bitterness, and this takes over your entire life. Now, one of the authors that I enjoy reading is Wayne Dyer. He died about 2 years ago. He grew up in Detroit right at the end of the Depression. And his father left his family, he and his brother and his mother, when he was very young. And he remembered the stories, even though he didn't know who he was. And as he grew up, he got very angry at his father for what he had done. I don't think any of us could blame him or anybody who had been abandoned by their family to feel anger, hurt, and bitterness. And then he had to be put into foster homes because his mother couldn't afford to take care of him. And then as he grew up, that anger never left him. And then by a quirk of fate, he happened to get in a rental car and found a calling card to a funeral home. And he called the funeral home and he asked, "Do you have a Dyer that's buried there?" And the director said yes. And then he knew it was his father. So he drove out to the cemetery and found his father's grave. And he said it almost like his shoes were screwed to the pavement. And basically what he did, he forgave his father for all the wrongs that he had done to him, all the anger that had been directed towards him and his mother and his brother. You see, his father had been in and out of jail. He was an alcoholic and lived a very pathetic and sinful life. But in the midst of that, he was able to forgive. And he found that once he had done that, his life took on a completely new way. You see, he was slowly killing himself by smoking. He was up to 3 and 4 packs a day. And when he was able to forgive his father, he was able to give up this thing that was slowly putting him to death. And then his relationships with other people began to soar. He began to write. He began to do a lot of different things that never would have been possible if it hadn't been that he could forgive his father and move on with his life. It's also an expression of your enemies. It's also an expression that says that while you're out hating your enemies, they're out dancing and having a good time. They really don't care what you think of them. They're having a good time while you're being angry. Not forgiving can destroy you. And that's the reason Christ encourages us to forgive and then to move on. Now, some people say, forgive and forget. Well, usually if you've been hurt badly, you can't forget. But rather what you can do is remember in a different way. To look at what can you learn, and then more importantly, can you see that person in another light? I know for many years of my life, I've struggled with that very question. And I had to go see a counselor to work on some of the anger that I had inside of me for the people that have hurt me. But what I noticed in this is what the counselor tried to tell me was, you always remember the things that have been done to you, and you have difficulty remembering what you've done. And part of the act of forgiveness is to learn to forgive yourself. To learn to forgive and understand that you make mistakes just like anybody else does and that God forgives you. And Jesus gave us two great resources. One is prayer, where you can offer yourself up to God. And I talked about that last week. To offer yourself, to bear your soul to God. God, please forgive me for the sins that I've done. Please help me to forgive those that have wronged me. And to understand that God's love is there for us in all times and in all circumstances. Today in Sunday school, Jesus in the Gospel of John talks about loving each other as I have loved you. And what that means is that God, Jesus Christ, loves us despite our faults, despite the things that we do wrong. The love is always there for us. It's what's called unconditional love. God did not create a perfect world. In other words, God gave us freedom of choice, freedom of will. And some people may choose a way that can be very violent, very bitter, very angry. But in the midst of all of that, the love of Christ, the love of God still exists inside of us. So as we go in life, let's remember that being hurt, being injured is part of it. Jesus left us a great rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. If you want to be forgiving of others, be the same thing to them. If you want people to treat you kind, treat them kind. It's a very simple rule, yet it's very profound. Do you need to forgive others? I know I've needed to forgive a lot of people in my life. And the older I get, the more I understand that that's part of being a human being. In Alcoholics Anonymous, they do what's called a moral inventory, where you sit and you begin to list all the people that you've hurt and try to begin to make amends to each one of them. And this is for them, but more importantly, it's for you. And a lot of people, when they get in recovery, the person they need to forgive is themselves. The way they were when they were addicts, the way they were, and how they responded. And many people, when they get into recovery, will in turn try to help others. And that's a very human and natural thing. I've been where you are. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to go without. I know what it's out to spend my paycheck. I know what it's out to spend my money and not feed my family. And so, when they do that fearless moral inventory, it can be very painful, but it's also very healing and very wholesome as you pitch your way in life. Now, I'd like to close with a story. I don't know if you know the story of Louis Zamperini. Louis Zamperini was a track star in the 1936 Olympics. Before that time, he was running constantly from the police. And his brother saw the potential in him, and he developed a lot of skill running and trying to elude the police. So his brother said, "Why don't you go off of the track team and put that great skill that God has given you to use?" So not only did he make the track team, but he was good enough to make the 1936 Olympics. And he was there, and he did very well. 7 years later, he was in World War II. He was on a plane in the Pacific, and he was shot down. And he and three of his buddies survived for 47 days on a raft. And then he was picked up by the Japanese and sent to a POW camp. And when they found out who he was, they targeted him for particular abuse. A man called the Bird that he met and the guards that were there all tried to do all kinds of horrible things to him. And in the process, he lost over 100 pounds. And in 1945, when the camp was liberated, he was returned to the United States and he came home. But he was not the same man. He was very different. He'd been abused, he'd been tortured, and he was angry and bitter and hostile. He began to drink a lot, he began to abuse his wife. And his wife wondered, "How much longer can I tolerate and put up with this?" Well, anyway, right at that time, the Billy Graham Crusade came to where they lived. And she went and heard Billy Graham speak. This was right at the end of the 40s, 1948. And when she came home, she decided two things. Number one, she wasn't going to divorce him. And number two, she wanted him to go and hear this man. At first, Louis Zamperini was kind of reluctant. "Why do I want to hear this? I'd rather go out and get drunk or do whatever I want to do." But with some persuasion, he showed up. Probably thinking, "Yes, I know this drill and nothing's going to happen." Well, when Billy Graham offered the altar call, he went forward. And the counselor there had a prayer with him. And all the anger and all the bitterness and all the disappeared. Because he realized that God had loved him, not only that, but he needed to forgive the people that hurt him. So when he got well, he went back to Japan and found the guards in the prison camp. And told him not only that he forgave them, but he loved them. He never did find the bird who was particularly angry and bitter towards him. But he offered a prayer for him. And after all that was done, his life took on completely new meaning. He formed a camp for kids just like himself. Kids right on the edge of disaster. Kids that could go either way. And they did rock climbing, they did athletics, they did Bible study. All those things. Now, he died a few years ago at the age of 97. And they made a movie about his life called Unbroken. If you've not seen it, I highly recommend that you do. The book is even better, obviously. But see, that's the power of God's love. God doesn't give up on us. No matter where you are in life, no matter what sins you've done, no matter what places you've been, God's love is always there for us. God's forgiveness is always waiting there for us. Do you know somebody in your life you need to forgive? If you're like me, the answer is yes. Do you need to forgive yourself? If you're like me, the answer is yes. And just remember, God forgives you for all your sins. The price has been paid in full for what we've done. And that's the reason I'm a Christian, because it offers that opportunity. You may know somebody that needs to hear the word of God. You may want to invite them to come to our church. You may want to invite them to come to a Bible study. Just to listen, not to proselytize them, not to beat them over the head. For us to say, come and hear God's word. Come and hear the love of God for each one of you. So I'm going to have a few moments of prayer. Let's all be in an attitude of prayer. And if there's someone in your life you need to forgive, offer them up. God, please help me forgive this person that hurt me. Or you may offer yourself up. God, please help me to forgive myself for the sins that I've done. So let's have a few moments of silence, and then we'll begin our last hymn. Lord, hear our prayers. Help us understand this great love is for us for the taking. Help us understand, Lord, that we are forgiven. And help us, Lord, understand that we can make a new beginning. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, 656 in our hymnals.